Yes, from the Nine Network, Denny Widler. Denny, good morning.
Morning, gents. Is Pup there?
I'm here, buddy.
Mate, why didn't you have a go at Buzz yesterday?
Oh, mate, because two wrongs don't make a right. You know that.
But don't worry, I'm blueing with him as well now.
Oh, are you? Tell us about your blue. What's going on?
Well, what have you done?
I picked up, there was a story which was saying that Latrell Mitchell's worth $2 million, $600,000 in marketing. And look, I want Latrell to make as much money as possible. But I just made the mention that a year ago, the same organisation, same people writing stories were saying that Latrell's a basically, a thug for what he did to Joey Manu, and you know he was unmarketable and terrible, and now he's the most marketable bloke in the world. And I was just calling out, you know, the change in opinion, and I think that's a fair thing to say, that there's been a big sway in people's opinion, and I've sort of been of the view from the start that Latrell's the same person, and there is no way that he deliberately went to injure Joey Manu in that tackle. And yes, I still think he's worth a lot of money. If you say that, according to people like Buzz, well, you know, you're not allowed to have that opinion. So I'm just having my opinion, and Buzz doesn't agree.
Don't you dare have an opinion.
Buzz is backflip. Yeah. You know? That's all.
Shots fired.
Buzz had a crack at me. I'll have a crack at Buzz. That's all fine.
It's what we do. That's what we do.
Pop, I thought you would have gone a bit harder, mate. Look,
I'm not entitled to my opinion. I haven't played 45 Origin, so I'm just going to keep out of it. To me, the thing about Latrell, there's no doubt he's a superstar, and he's playing unbelievable footy at the moment. But do we forget quickly Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk, Tommy T? Like, to me, I feel like at the moment we're carrying on like he's Sir Donald Bradman of cricket. He's that far above everybody else. Yet,
Puffy's the most charismatic player in the game.
He might be at the moment, but last year we spoke about Tommy T.
I'm talking about charisma and appeal, and I agree with Buzz in terms of the fact that he's very charismatic, very marketable, and he's got appeal. Like if he walks in, you know, with a bunch of other NRL players, the kids tend to gravitate towards him and Tommy, but he's just got a real something about him, and the way he's embraced, he's changed a fair bit since he's come back from America.
Yeah, well, he said that as well, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's embracing the media. He's actually, you know, doing more media stuff at the moment.
Right.
He's got a contract with Fox Sports, and I think that's maybe part of why he's now getting more glowing reviews in certain sections of the media. That could be something
surely not
to do with it.
Surely not.
But you know, that I think that he deserves every penny he can get because he's got a short career. It's, you know, 10 years or so, and I think he deserves everything he can get. And he is a happy firing Latrell is box office watchable.
Why is there so much conversation, or if there's any beef around how much money a player gets? Like, to me, I know there's a salary cap, I understand that, so there's only so much you can get on the field, but if a player, there wouldn't be too many of the top 10 players in the game not getting little bonuses off the field anyway. Whether it's a car contract, okay, they mightn't get any money, but instead of going and buying a car for $150,000, they're getting a free car for the 2 years they're at the club, or, you know, a shoe deal, or, like, surely there's, tell me one of the top 10 players that's not getting the little perks that come with being the best in the game.
And they deserve it, but it's hard to
definitely
earn, hard to earn another $600 in third parties. Loz, I mean, you lived through Super League, you're a professional player, and I'm sure you had good endorsements going, but to earn $600, you've got to also service that $600.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, turning up for sponsors and doing things, and on top of a professional career, which is highly, it requires a lot of time. It's very demanding. I think that.
And you know the other thing with that, Denny, there's only a few players that can actually endorse products legitimately, I reckon.
When you're with Nike, Loz,
yep.
was it a big deal, or was it just?
It was a reasonable size deal given the where rugby league was in terms of off field. You know, I don't think There was a lot of players. ET and Junior probably were the most marketable players around that time, and they started to do deals off the field. And I think after that, then it slowly started to take effect where other players were getting deals.
Mm.
So for me, yeah, Nike was a good, well, it was a good one for me. But again, you had to earn your money. It just wasn't given to you, that money. It wasn't just there's your boots and we're going to give you some money just to wear them. You had to do other things for them. So, and again, that's where people get a little bit confused, I think, with what you're getting paid by third parties and what you actually do with it.
Laurie, I think it'd be hard to earn $600K outside of your football career. I mean, the players who have, you know, who are going to earn the most are the Luttrells, the James Tedesco, Tommy T, maybe a Cameron Munster, although he's had some off-field issues. And I think someone like Nathan Cleary is, you know, they're the most marketable guys in the game, and they can make the extra money just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones.
Cam Murray would be another one.
Cam Murray, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, good luck to them.
100%.
I would never begrudge anyone earning extra money. I mean, that's what they're professional athletes, and they should make every cent they possibly can. Look at the way Paul Gallen's changed his career now. Like, boxing was a sidelight for him. He's making big dollars now outside of his sport. But he probably didn't make the huge money when he was playing. So these guys have got to make the money now through either their endorsements or obviously their contracts. But you know, I'd love to see him make more, to be perfectly honest with you.
I think they deserve more.
Yeah,
it's a hard game, and you look and see what. You know, some players at the end of their careers look like, and you know, to be perfectly fair, even watching Mario Fenech on television the other night, I mean, that was sad to see Mario in such a state. And it's a tough game. It's a tough, brutal game, and it's getting harder and harder. And I believe that players should be paid whatever they can get.
And back to on the field with Luttrell now. I mean, like. You know, he probably didn't have his best game last week, and South still were dominant. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see this grand final rematch. He didn't get the chance to make his mark last year because of the Manu stuff. I think the year before he might have had a hammy as well. And so I think this is a time for him to absolutely shine and show the game that he is tremendous and why he should be one of the very top players, and he will be on $1 million a year with South, provided that deal gets done. And he'll get the chance to show exactly why against the machine that is Penrith. I don't know how anyone stops them, but I think that if anyone can stop them, it's through Luttrell.
You've got to hope that they don't bring their best if you're going to beat Penrith, and you're going to have to make sure that Luttrell's on his game, and they're just a wonderful side, Penrith. They've proven that over the last couple of years, and they look mighty hard to beat for this year, but you just never know, do you? It's an 80-minute performance.
I was out with them, the Penrith boys, yesterday, and I talked to about half a dozen of them, including Nathan, and look, they've just got this real steel about them and real calmness, and I just feel like they know what they have to do. They just know what they have to do. They've got a couple of little concerns, you know, with Caelan May, obviously. But, I mean, apart from that, they look lean, mean and hungry, and they want to do this again. And there's the attitude there.
I saw you talking last night on Nine News with Viliami Kickout about that TikTok video that he did last year. Do you think, well, I'm assuming South will use that, but would they be worried about that at all? You know, Kickow and, you know, the coaching group. And would they mention that, do you think? Or that's just, don't even worry about it. We're not going there.
I asked Billy to sing the song for me again.
Ooh, ouch.
He didn't want to sing it. Look, Billy knows he did wrong. And he knows he's definitely given South some ammo. They haven't forgotten that. I know it's only probably in the broad scheme of things, it's something that the media like to talk about.
Yeah.
And we like to focus on, and you know what, looking at it a year later, it's a bit funny, and you know, but I don't think the Souths fans see it as funny. And I think the players will talk about it. But Kikau is the weapon for Penrith. He's almost the Latrell for Penrith in a lot of ways, isn't he? But the impact he has on a game, he's been unbelievable this year. He says he's cut out, he used to have Maccas and KFC three times a week earlier in his career. He's cut that out. He has the occasional cheat meal now, but he's realising what it takes to become a professional footballer. And Laurie, I'm not sure I know you watch it very closely, but I think that the good judges say to me that he's now probably the best defensive second rower in the comp as well. That his defence has improved remarkably, and that's something he's really worked on. And that's going to be interesting to see the way he monitors the South Sydney players.
You're saying he's the best back rower?
That's
a big call. I think he's improved out of sight.
Defensively?
Yeah, I think he's improved out of sight. There's no argument. I mean, really, it comes down to what you see in a back rower and how they defend and how they work with the man on his inside and outside as well. Mm. It just doesn't come down to at times with what your technique's like and how you wrap someone up. It's about how you defend. I always remember Tim Sheens always used to say, you can be a good tackler, but that doesn't make you a good defender.
Well, apparently that's what the people, I'm not saying it, but what people have explained to me who know the game better than me, they say, look, you watch his defence now. It is the high point of his game, and he's a weapon also in attack as well. And the other interesting thing with when I was out at Penrith, I think that they watched pretty closely how Ronaldo Molitano had a bit of success in the air against South. And I know that Cronulla didn't win and didn't really threaten, but that's where they looked most dangerous. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Stephen Crichton, you know, really launched as an aerial weapon against South. So that's another thing to look at.
I don't know how South wingers cope with Nathan Cleary's bombs. I just don't know how they do it. I mean, other than putting pressure on Nathan.
That's the key.
Yeah, that is the key, but it's easier said than done, isn't it?
Well, him and Matt Burton are obviously the best.
Yeah, no, they are. What about in your column on Sunday, Denny, and I was sort of taken aback with this. We talk about concussions in the game and we talk about player safety. And did you say something like doctors assess their patient over Zoom?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. I mean, I put that to the NRL. I said, listen, I've been told that, you know, just say Mitchell Moses, for example, the independent doctor will have a Zoom hookup with him. I mean, obviously they've got their club doctors, but you would think, I don't know, given, like you mentioned, the Mario thing, and given the focus on concussions and all, I would have thought that there has to be a consultation face-to-face. I mean, I know we can do the health thing over the phone, can't we? I mean, but, you know, I don't think we're generally dealing with concussions on a weekly basis. And I would have thought it requires more than a Zoom, you know, hookup with a player to say, hey, how are you feeling? I mean, I don't know. That leaves me a little bit concerned about the level, the incomplete level of thoroughness that's going through these processes.
Now, on the Vanquished, the Sharks season, was it a success or not, do you think, Danny?
I think so. I think that Craig Fitzgibbon would have been gutted straight sets, right? I mean, look, Johnny Morris, don't forget, he was sacked from Cronulla for not being able to get results at the back end of the year. And Fitzy did really well to get Cronulla to the point where they were so high up on the premiership table. But their exit was not great. I mean, the way they lost at the end to the Cowboys, so hard to take. And their performance on the weekend just wasn't up to it. So I think they'll consider it a pretty good season. The criticism throughout the year of Cronulla was, you know, maybe they had an easier draw, which is, I think that's been quite widely accepted. So I think that it's a strong season, a good start for Craig Fitzgibbon, but not an outstanding one, particularly with the way they finished. So I think Fitzy will have learnt a lot from that exit, and I know for a fact he's taken it to heart. That's hurt him big time.
Geez, we mark him hard, Danny, the coaches, and no harder than Brad Arthur, mate. Surely he's safe, win, lose or draw.
You'd think so.
God.
There's obviously a set against Brad Arthur. You've seen
why though?
I actually think Brad Arthur's done a pretty good job, but I think that the reason it's there is because they haven't won a comp. Simple as that. They feel like they've had the resources, the roster, particularly this year. This is their year, pup.
Yeah, I get that. I get the expectation, and I actually think Brad's handled the criticism very well. I think he hasn't shied away from it. He said, yep, there is expectation, there is pressure, and there's no doubt he wants to win the GF. But this, if I think of my team, the Tigers, if our record was what Parramatta's has been in the last, 10 years, I'd be doing backflips.
You'd be taking half the record.
Mate, I'd be so, like, I just worry we always think the grass is greener.
Yeah, look, when there are some pretty significant figures in the media who aren't on your side, and, this is coming up at semi-final time, and there's leaked reports about junior pathways, and they're being interpreted as, impacting on the senior team. It just doesn't feel great for Brad. I think he silences everything if he gets him into the grand final, in my view. I actually would have thought that would have dropped off now. But I guess if he gets him to the grand final, maybe that's his pass mark. I don't know.
Danny, big week. Enjoy, mate. Thank you.
Pup, I expect some strong performances from you. I'm listening closely, particularly at 5:30 in the morning.
Good on you, mate.
Put your seatbelt on.
See ya. Bye.
See you, buddy.